Welcome to Inside Out, The Naked Truth.
Coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol Strider. And together, we will explore that truth through conscious conversation, humor, music, skits, poetry, and hopefully your comments, because you can call in, and we're going to love to hear from you. In a few minutes, I'll give you that call-in number.
Tonight's show is sponsored by Go Raw, 100% natural, organic raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
Go Raw can be found in all kinds of organic sections of grocery stores and supermarkets. Costco's considered a supermarket, I think, and Whole Foods.
And you can go to goraw.com to find out more about Go Raw products, which are cookies, snacks, bars, chocolate, and seeds.
So tonight we're going to focus on hurt feelings, dealing with hurt feelings. And it's because so many times I encounter and have exchanges with other people in which feelings are hurt. And it causes all sorts of problems, because somehow when our feelings are hurt, it's just so uncomfortable and painful. And, you know, you can imagine all the family baggage that's stacked into all of that, that you want to do anything you can to get rid of it.
I mean, what are hurt feelings? Because we understand hurt, physical hurt. We can point to it, you know, our finger, our hand, our back, or anything physical. But where do our feelings exist? Do they exist in our stomach, heart, mind, or somewhere else? Are different feelings located in different parts of our body or outside of our body? And to me, the most important question is, what causes my feelings to get hurt? Insults, disappointment, rejections, not being appreciated or seen, ridiculed or screwing up, just to name a few. I mean, when we want something so intensely and we don't get it, we collapse inward. Our stomach cramps, breathing becomes difficult. We may cry, scream, or go into shame. If I'm only different, I would have it, him, her, or blame. It, she, he's just a dirtbag who needs him or her or it anyway. They don't deserve whatever, but I still hurt. Emotional pain, hurt feelings can't be bandaged. Sometimes they can be understood. Sometimes we even outgrow the causes. But the feelings, our feelings, no matter what triggers them, are an indicator that we are alive. And maybe that's why we can't let go of them so much. If we can feel, we're living. I know one thing. When I detach and step back from all cause, my feelings don't die. They just don't hurt so much. So that's what I'm practicing, to step back, look at them, so that they don't hurt so much. Whoa, don't hurt my feelings, darling. Give me a chance to show you how much I love you. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Saw you last night and told you how much I love you.
And now we're going to take you to a hurt protection store featured in this skit that Rochelle and I are going to do called Hurt, where they sell hurt protection devices. Don't want to miss this. Hello, may I help you?
Yes, I'm interested in some protection for being hurt.
Oh, are you interested in our basic models? Splints, slings, band-aids, that sort of protection?
No, this kind of hurt isn't physical.
Oh, well, we have quite a number of styles and sizes to choose from, depending on kind of hurts you expect. Oh, is this for yourself or for someone else? We do gift wrap.
No, it's for myself.
Very good, then. Well, why don't we just step over this way, and perhaps you could tell me what you had in mind, the kind of injuries you're most prone to getting?
What do you mean?
Well, depending on the kind of hurts you've had in the past, how long you've had them, what styles you're most attracted to, that would make a difference in what I might show you. Well, for instance, if it is a betrayal of confidence, this model over here might work very well for you. See, what it does is it goes over your head and helps you keep all your secret, embarrassing thoughts to yourself. It plugs directly into the lobes in your brain. We can design it to look like any kind of hat you might like, a wig, a nice hairdo. We can even do it in bald, very popular these days. Anyway, should you get an impulse to confide in someone whom you think you might trust, it will send an electric current to your brain and remind you of your most intense betrayals.
That's not exactly my situation.
Ah, well, maybe something else then. Oh, we have this heart protector over here for only $129.95. It's on sale right now. It's for people who enter a relationship with someone expecting to be made to feel special and important by the partner in the relationship. Well, then, after a while, the partner, loses interest, doesn't treat you as number one in his universe. In the meantime, you have given him the power to make you feel good about yourself. You have committed your whole sense of self-worth to him, but he doesn't come through, and you feel mortified. Now, this little heart protector does two things. One, it automatically punches him when he doesn't give you what you want. Oh, and if he's been especially unresponsive, it will inflict verbal abuse and insult. Oh, and looky here. You see this button? You press that button, and it presses all of his buttons. Yeah. Oh, it's a great way to leverage your resentment. Oh, and one more thing. Oh, this model is just amazing. It will begin to harden your heart. Oh, yeah. Each time you feel disappointed or hurt, you just pull the switch, and it coats your heart with a thin layer of bi-organic steel. Over a period of time, you become quite impervious to intimacy or your own feelings, but you feel very safe.
Well, that's not exactly what I was looking for either. You see, the fact is I give of myself all the time, deny myself even, and no one appreciates me. Not a thank you. The men in my life, they just take, and then they give nothing back. I can't stand it anymore. It hurts too much, and I want some protection for that.
Oh, for that, we've got the perfect thing. This model over here, number 4912X-Z, and don't forget that when you order, this model for only $295 goes over your hands. Every time you plan to do something for somebody, it controls your fingers. It forces them to contract to remind you you're going to get hurt again. Eventually, you will develop arthritis, but then you will be incapable of doing anything for anybody. But you won't experience them not appreciating you because you won't have done anything for them for years or for yourself, for that matter. And finally, they will have to start taking care of you because you will be so debilitated. What do you think of that?
Do you have something less severe?
Well, there is our general all-purpose model. It's designed to cover your more generic low-level hurts, someone stepping in front of you at the in the market, not getting recognition on the job when you feel you deserve it, somebody who has taken your shift or won't take your shift, someone flipping you the finger on the road. you know, some bitch making a pass at your husband, that sort of thing.
Oh, well, how does it work?
Well, it goes over your mouth, automatically forcing your lips into a smile no matter what you're feeling. And should any angry words begin to crop up, oh, it instantly converts them into nice words, ensuring that you will continue to be seen as a nice person. You know, I got a used one I can let you have for only
$59. A $59 used one?
Yes, the person who used it changed her mind, decided it wasn't worth the conflict it produced in her. What do you do with types like that? And that it was up to her whether she was going to be hurt or not.
Well, it sounds more like what I'm looking for.
Try it. See if you like it. And if you do, I want you to think about our remote control model. Now, it's a bit more expensive, but it has the advantage of you not having to be there at all. See, what it does is it forms a holographic likeness of you smiling and saying nice things so you can totally withdraw into yourself. What do you think of that?
Oh, I will think about it. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, well, let's just take care of what we have here. We got the model. This is going to cost $75 with, that'll include tax, $65.
Oh, thank you. $65. I thought that was right.
Yeah. Would you like paper or plastic? Just kidding, actually. They don't let us do plastic anymore. Anyway, if you prefer, you can wear it out the door. That's what I recommend, and I'll be happy to help you put it on.
Oh, I think I would like to wear it. Here's your money.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're not welcome.
Not welcome.
Just want to give you a chance to practice.
Oh, of course. I just press it, right?
Yeah, press it again.
Uh-huh.
Now get the hell out of my store.
Oh, you've been so kind.
I cannot stand pathetic people like you. Go on, press it again.
Oh, I will have to tell all my friends about you. Have a nice day.
You are a spineless, inadequate person. See? It's working. I'll get the hell out of here, you miserable bitch. I can't stand you.
Where's that shop located?
Del Mar and Broadway.
Don't you get the wrong impression. And don't you get the wrong idea. I'm going through a Great Depression. I'm just holding back the tears. If you think I look happy, and if you see me with a smile, I'm really blue as a man can be. I'm just style. A technique I perfected. I do my hurting on the inside. Hey, all right. Thank you. it now. I'm really blue as a man can be. I do my hurting on the inside. I may look cool, calm, clear, and collected, but baby, that's just this cowboy style. Technique I perfected. I do my hurting.
Whoops.
Whoops. You're going crazy at that machine, Errol Strider.
I was because I was desperately looking for this artist name, and I will find it and get back to you.
I want to know who sang that very first song, that one about hurt feelings.
I'll get back to you on that.
I'm right here. You don't have to get back to me at all.
Oh, you're going to be here when I come back?
I'll be here when you come back. It was interesting because I was going to ask if he had, did that cowboy go to the hurt protection store and get his things where, so you couldn't tell that he was hurting on the inside.
Of course. Of course. He was the first guy we interviewed on the thing. And, but he was an interesting guy because what he said to me or in our conversation together, you know, he said, you know, Mr. Strider, I was, you know, I was thinking about getting hurt and feelings all the time. And I'd want to kill Daisy. That's my wife. And I tried it on more than one occasion. She wasn't too fond of that, I can tell you. And, you know, but I love Daisy. I couldn't stand seeing myself hitting Daisy. Oh, man, that was, I don't know, the pain. So I realized I needed help. That's all there was to it. I just needed help. And I went and got some help. I went and saw some boys that had the same problem, you know, wife abuse and whatever. And you know, and the first thing I learned that made the biggest difference to me, I realized that it wasn't my feelings that got hurt. That's what it felt like. It was my pride. That's what got hurt.
Well, that's a feeling. Your pride is a feeling. What else would it be? Pride.
I thought it was a buckwheat kernel, dear. But
oh God, it's so ridiculous.
Anyway, yeah, yeah.
I do think that awareness that you're having feelings, and that they're and you give your power away to somebody so that they can hurt them, and being aware of that starts the process of healing it. I was talking to someone about this the other day, and she said that, you know, she didn't think it was possible not to get your feelings hurt. And I realized that there were, when I was younger, my feelings would get hurt if someone rejected me or giggled when I walked into the room. I took it personally. I don't feel those things anymore. So I do think you do outgrow hurt feelings. You can't outgrow them. You can heal them. You can look at them in very different ways than we do when we're particularly young. You know, because, you know, when you say, like, my feelings got hurt, where are your feelings? Where are they?
That's what I was going to say. And I was going to ask you this question, because when you think about, okay, what are feelings? From our point of view on this show, on Inside Out, The Naked Truth, this is Errol and Rochelle, just to remind you, and we're going to ask you to call in, hopefully, in just a few minutes. But there's basically only two feelings from our perspective, love and fear. And so what's getting triggered? Like, let's say there's this basic fundamental fear for survival that we all carry. Mm-hmm. It's in one of the, I don't know how many brains they got now. They keep discovering new brains. No, that was planets. Yeah, they discovered new planets.
I'm so glad you got your head on right, Errol.
I thought they found a couple of new brains. God knows we could use some new brains.
No, we don't need new brains. We just need to use more of what we've already had.
Okay.
So anyway, so you said you were talking about fear and love.
Yes. So there's this primal animal thing of survival. And so what is being threatened? Well, in a basic form, and the body is being threatened. But what I perceive that we have done in this culture is we've actually condensed our belief systems into kind of a body that then has to be protected. And let's just call it the ego body. But it's this contrived self that we've all concocted, And we desperately project into the world, hoping that it will be met with agreement. In other words, we want people to see the self that we want to project. It can be a bad self, it can be a good self. Either way.
So that self is, what you're saying is that self is threatened if someone ignores us or ridicules us or makes fun of us or we're disappointed, we don't get what we want, you know. And so would you say that all feelings are ego?
Well, I would not say it quite like that, my dear. I think I would say it thusly.
Well, you're saying it differently, that's for sure.
I would say it like this. All feelings arise from some very basic, mostly animal impulse.
So feelings, but aren't there finer feelings? I mean, like the feelings that happen to you when you're in a state of awe. Now, awe is a feeling. It's not a thought.
You know, that being said, I'd like this. This would be a good time for me to share this poem that I wrote about feelings, because I think it begins to smack of that reality. So, let me. This poem is called "Feelings: The Language of Relationship," and because I believe that's what it is, that's why it's kind of put into the system. The sentient being system, because animals have feelings, we have feelings, it's put into there, and it's kind of like a first way.
Well, do animals have emotional feelings or just physical feelings?
Or
emotional feelings physical?
Well, wait a minute, before you go there, I want to share this poem.
I'm asking lots of questions. Right. I want answers.
Think about that. Hold on to that thought, because I want to share this piece, because I think when we understand that feelings are the language of relationship, well, let's see if this piece might throw some light on it. It's a poem I wrote several years ago, Feelings, the Language of Relationship. Okay, whoops.
You just like the theme music to this show.
No, this is it. Sorry. I'm sorry, folks. I'm trying to be... I speak fear, so you'll know I need assurance. I speak fondness, so you'll know you can come near. I speak anger, so you'll know my frustration. I speak delight, so you'll know I am here. I speak grief, so you'll know how deep is my loss. I speak gratitude, so you'll know I'm fulfilled. I speak hatred, so you'll know I'm distraught. And I speak exuberance, so you'll know I am thrilled. I speak despair, so you'll know I've lost hope. I speak tenderness, so you'll know I really care. I speak frenzy, so you'll know I'm confused. I speak firmness, so you'll know I'll be fair. I speak sadness, so you'll know I am hurt. I speak gladness, so you'll know I've been touched. I speak bitterness, so you'll know how I've suffered. And I speak joy, so you'll know I love you so much.
Mm. That's the awareness, I think, that I was talking about in terms of healing us from all those hurts. Because once you're aware of like what your feelings are saying and other people's feelings are saying, you can be with them at a different level. You know, you're not reacting to them so much as you can receive them. You go, oh, well, they're saying those things because they're confused. Well, I can get that. I understand confused. I'm confused lots of times, and I can have empathy. Oh, you don't get the invective thrown at you, you know, somebody shouting at you or being upset, but you sort of begin to understand where they're coming from, even yourself, where you're coming from when you get upset, so that you can forgive yourself, you know, for being hurt.
But you have to make a commitment to be self-aware. And why would you want to make that commitment?
Are you asking me? I can tell you if you're asking me.
It's rhetorical, dear. Just let me be rhetorical.
Don't have rhetorical questions. I'm sitting right here. I
want to be rhetorical tonight, because tonight I'm feeling rhetorical. And that makes me want to go into...
Did you know out of five dogs over the age of three have gum disease? So
you know what? An ad just came on the internet, because we're obviously speaking to you through the internet. And just to remind you who we are and why we're here, this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth. And we're broadcasting live from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And again, I want to thank our sponsor, Go Raw, my beautiful new friend, Rob. And I saw him this weekend up here at Lupin. It was beautiful. So we were we were very happy to connect. Anyway, there it is. So back to the subject at hand, hurt.
Yeah, so we were talking about, once again, awareness. Why would you want to be aware was the question you asked before you started doing all that weird stuff with the computer. I have to tell you, people, you can't see Errol, but he wears these great big earphones right now. And he's got two computers in front of him, and he's constantly searching those computers as we're talking to each
other.
Two?
I thought there were six.
Well, that goes to show you. And he's
oh
a person
God.
Who can handle a lot of things at once. But if I'm having a conversation with him, it can get very disconcerting, because I don't know where he's at any given moment in time.
It's kind
but
of like our
right now.
You know, sometimes that can happen to your sexual life. It can become disconcerting. Have you ever had if you think about a disconcerting sexual life, that could hurt your feelings. Come on, go with me on this.
we were getting to the question of awareness. Why does one want to be aware? What is the benefit to be aware of oneself and one's hurt feelings and everything else? And I think that...
I got two words.
What?
It hurts. It hurts.
To be aware?
No. That's why you would want to be aware, because it hurts. At a certain point in your life, you get to the place where I don't want to hurt anymore. And
so you'll do whatever it takes to stop it from hurting.
That's
and
right.
And if becoming aware, which is really something you can do 24/7, you don't have to succeed 24/7, but you start the process and you start practicing until you get
to
the place.
Well, you start distancing yourself from that concocted self you made up to as a liaison between your real self and the world, because it was just too abrasive out there. And so, you know, and you came into life in a thicket of people's expectations, feelings, attitudes, systems, economic, social, emotional, and you're just thrust into it. Like, what do you know?
Well, you know, it may hurt, but I also, and in my introduction, I said it makes us feel alive, and it's a terrible feeling not to feel alive.
Yeah.
The thing is that I think, I'll say dark emotions, let's say, you know, the emotions of the hurt emotions rather than the awesome feelings, have more juice in them sometimes. You know, they're supported by movies, they're supported by television shows. You know, there's angst going on all the time, people screaming, yelling, carrying on. It's very heightened emotions, where feeling of joy, it's like a delicious pond, you know. I mean, the creek, you know, just runs down and is very gentle and calming.
Creek.
And some people don't know how to take the calmness as life. They want that, you know, the attention, the excitement, and that says, I'm living, I'm alive because I'm feeling, and even if I'm feeling hurt and miserable and in pain, at least I can feel it.
And there's something to be said for that, folks. You might want to hold on to those feelings, because the fear is they may be the only feelings you ever get. And yeah, like you say, feelings make us feel alive. The way I look at it is feelings is kind of like where we rub up against the rest of the universe. And some places you rub up against the rest of the universe, that means all other phenomena outside of yourself. And the rubbing feels really good, you know. Like, think about all the different ways rubbing feels good. And then the rubbing can feel not good, you know. And so you have this continuum in life.
Yeah, even a good rubbing, if you rub it enough, will start to hurt.
Exactly. We have this continuum that we live in, that we exist in. If we step back and become the witness, it's a continuum. We've just begun in our universe existence. We're like conscious dirt. I mean, really. I mean, we're not much more than that. And in the span of evolution, in the span of all possible time and infinite, all right. And just for a second, go with me here. Imagine that maybe there is an essential aspect that is the real you that's here forever. You know, you're here, you're in the universe, you're not going anywhere. Yeah, the real you won't stay in this body. And the first step in letting go and finding that deep and profound assurance, which it is to recognize that you may be living out of a self that just isn't real. It's something you made up.
I think you have to do that at a certain point in evolution. At a certain point in evolution, you have to hold on to the physical as reality. That the idea that the physical is an illusion is far, far too far out. It's far, far too out to even consider, because it's touchable. I mean, it's so kinetic, and we are such kinetic beings.
Speaking of kinetic beings, for those of you out there who are using your hearing sense in listening to our program, unlike those of you who are smelling it right now, you can. Michelle thinks I'm the silliest person in the world, and she's right.
He is the silliest person in the world. It's what I've strived to be.
Maybe not
the silliest. I don't know. I haven't met that many silly people, but he's pretty silly.
I'm going to tell you about silliness in just a second, because it's one gene that gets linked with another gene that I'll tell you about. They come together. But you can call in. We'd love to hear from you. It would mean so much to us, really, to have some of you who are listening just call in, even if it's just to say hello, hi.
And if you don't, I promise you, I will not have my feelings hurt.
Oh. Ooh. But, you know, that was her wise, bright, smart self speaking. Her animal lower brain self might actually be the one listening to your call. We don't know, but that call number is 888. 627-6008. I like that. 888. Okay, it's like, okay, I'm going to eat three times. 888-627-6008. Guess what? 8. So call in, and if you got comments or questions in the meantime, let's get back to this subject that we're doing tonight, just to see where we've come so far and where we might need to go. So we've looked at hurt feelings. We've taken a look at how we have to have a witness and start becoming aware, and that we might be motivated enough to be aware by it's enough. It's enough. It's pain.
Well, you're also, when your feelings get hurt all the time, you're a victim.
There you go.
You know, and I always think, like, you know, do I want to be a victim all my life? You know, and at this point in my life, and it's 3/4 of my life is pretty much have over. I don't want to be a victim anymore. So I really pay attention to the places where I go into victimship.
So can we safely say that a lot of us play out that role in life as our concocted self?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because see, we take as a given our essential self, the I am of the I am that I am, is really whole. It's not broken. It's not tarnished and poisoned in the way we may feel or experience our concocted self to be. You know, if we have guilt, for instance, that's like poison shoots through your vein. That's what guilt is. It's poison shoots through the veins of your soul, you know, leaking itself into the quivers of your consciousness.
Oh, that's a pretty line. Leaking itself into the quivers of your consciousness. I like that line. That's fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. Well, guilt is definitely a hurt feeling, man. Guilt is a hurt feeling, and we impose it upon ourselves. I mean, we may have gotten it from others who, you know, but I think more and more I'm learning that no one makes me feel a certain way. And that's a beginning, too, in getting rid of, dealing with, or embracing hurt feelings, is that I don't want to give my power to situations and others that they can hurt me.
Well, it starts, though, we have four steps that we use to kind of arrive at what Rochelle was just saying, that I'm responsible for my feelings. Let's talk about the three steps that precede that, because they all start with one thing, a willingness. Willing. We'll come back to that. But the first one is, are you willing to be honest with yourself?
Yeah, and to be honest, you have to see something. So you can go, yeah, I have allowed myself to be hurt. I've allowed myself to have hurt feelings.
And here's another key one, and this is one that's often overlooked when people are in the heat of a reaction to being hurt. And that is, are you willing to share your need? Because what I notice is that, for example, for those who go into anger when they feel hurt, you know, they're really covering up their need, because what they need is, as I said in that poem, I speak fear, I need assurance. That's what that poem is saying. I speak fear so you'll know I need assurance. And the more congruent a person can be with that fear, like, I'm really scared now, as opposed to, you son of a bitch, blah, 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 whatever, blame, anger. Or saying that to myself.
So to own what's going on underneath your reaction to something.
Yeah.
What's going on underneath those hurt feelings.
Yeah, and you got to get...
What triggers them.
And the truth is, you need to get really self-aware. Now, it's easy for me to say that, you know, Bob, we've been working on this all, certainly at least consciously with each other for the last 40 years. I mean, I knew when I started it was going to take that long to have her whip me in shape.
I don't really whip.
It's not really a whip, but sometimes it feels like a mommy, Rochelle's whipping me, but it feels like a whip thing. Again.
You know, and this thing is, I think when Errol just used that kind of little boy voice, that's about how old we are, even though we may be adults walking around in adult bodies. When we feel hurt, I think we're really very young. We're very raw. We're vulnerable. We feel vulnerable when our feelings get hurt.
When I'm working with someone in a workshop and they're having a feeling or just whatever, and if they're willing to be conscious, I ask them, how old do you feel you are right now? In the middle of this temper tantrum or this whatever. And
invariably, it's less than 10.
It's young, definitely young. I had one guy who was 90. Which I thought was interesting, since he was only 38. He expected to have one when he was
90. Be careful with this man. You see, it's the radio. You can't see the twinkle in his eyes when he tells you something silly like
but
that.
You can if you go to our website. You could see lots of twinkling, because we've got like 15 of our videos on our website.
Yeah.
Let me give you that. It's www.thelaughingheart.org. How about that? To strive for a laughing heart. Well, that's the name of our nonprofit organization, thelaughingheart.org. And if you go there, you'll see us in all kinds of tomfoolery and Jacqueline foolery.
Well, I definitely want to go back to the process of awareness. You know, I always think, I refer to athletics a lot when I talk and give classes, because an athlete has the wonderful ability to watch him, herself, as they are in the middle of a conscious athletic moment, whether it's golf, tennis, football, baseball, whatever.
Beetle watching?
I haven't met too many athletes.
The Beatles have races on Friday nights, and people go to watch the Beatles. They're called Beetle watchers.
Well, not exactly a sport that has hit the Olympics, but okay. So the thing is that there's this enormous amount of focus that takes place when you're doing athletics. skiing. You know, we're going to see the Winter Olympics very soon. And you just watch these athletes. First of all, they've been practicing forever. They practice all the time. And one of the things they practice is watching themselves as they do what they do, without judgment, but making adjustments while they're doing it. So they go, oh, I could feel that my ski was just slightly tilted this way. That's why I fell. The next time they do it, they're aware that they have to move the ski slightly to the other side in order to keep from falling.
You know, they have a camera now, you know, on women's, when the baby's growing, and they actually saw one that had really tiny little skis. But it kind of, it couldn't survive the environment. So it managed. Is that absurd?
Yes, very absurd. It is. It gets an A for absurdity.
Well, you know, for those of you who, I don't know if you know who Milton Erickson was, the whole neuro-linguistic program was kind of based upon his skill as a psychiatrist and hypnotherapist. And he developed the confusion therapy.
Which Arrow practices all the
right,
time.
Right, right. And I went to study with him, but it was so confusing. Anyway, but I want to...
Arrow confuses himself.
I do, yeah. I think for myself, too, but that's another program. I want to go back to the four steps that, you know, that we talked about. Willing, first of all, willing to be honest. And then the second one, you was willing to state your need. What do you need here? And then the third one, and we can go back and cover this. You can call in, send us an email. We don't charge extra for that. Well, maybe we do. Number three is willing to get off your position. That's really a key. Say something about
well,
that.
Well, I always add, you know, I'm willing to get off my position is like, both parties have to be willing to get off their position and together arrive at a new position they both can agree to. I mean, you can't have just one person get off their position and the other person win, so to speak.
Because, try as we may.
No, well, so getting off your position is really like going, okay, you don't agree. I don't agree with your position. You don't agree with my position. Let's drop it and find another position we can both agree to. When we used this a great deal when we were decorating one of the houses that we lived in, and we said we have to both agree on what we're going to pick and put into that house. And, you know, sometimes they would be like, you get so fall in love with something, and you go, oh, but I want this. And the other person goes, oh, that's horrible. That doesn't look good there at all. And the person who wanted it goes, no. But you see, it has this and it's this. And you try to convince the other person. But if you get off your position fast, you know, and then you find another thing. And we did it as much as we could. And what happened is we were all, the two of us, satisfied with what was there. There was no like, he got the best, you know, he won and or she won. And but there was none of that. And it wasn't compromise. It wasn't like compromise as much as it was really finding a new position we both could agree to.
We entered the creative process together, and that truly is the way out of all of this, is to enter the creative process. Because instead of resisting and holding on to your position, if you engage the issue with the faith, and this is where that faith comes in, and that is a powerful thing. If you don't have faith, it's just a harder boat to get moving.
Yeah, it just feels like you jumped to something so intricate, faith. I mean, we're talking right now just about getting off our position.
Well, but
and
why
being
would,
creative?
Why and would you get off your position?
Because it hurts to stay on your position. Because somebody's going to lose. Somebody's going to be put down. Somebody's going to miss out. Somebody's going to feel, and it could be you, and that hurts. So when you get off your position and you find a new position you both can agree to, everybody's a winner, and that feels really good. And if you're in relationship and you both feel good, you're going to feel good with each other and toward each other.
And you might even feel good to your neighbor, Simon, who's noisy, runs his lawnmower in the middle of the night.
You don't have a neighbor named Simon, but that's all right. This is totally hypothetical.
Why do you have a need to explain to our listeners?
Nobody knows that you're not telling the truth.
Okay, partners out there, call in. Send us an email, estrider@gmail.com. Go to our website, and listen to some of the giggles that Universal Perspective has given us, because that's really what this program is about. It's like dropping into a deeper, more subtle, and more far-reaching. I think it actually touches the infinite. Oh, I have my friend David said something. We had exchanged these little text messages, and he said something about the infinite, because we always kind of play in that kind of verbal arena. And he said, I don't know if I can do this about the infinite. And I wrote back, and I said, well, which infinite?
And what did he answer?
He answered, LOL. He's a very sweet guy. I love him. And he has a wonderful, delightful, puckish quality and sense of humor. All the people I work with here at Lupin have really distinctive personalities. You know, sometimes their personalities are comfortable, and sometimes they're not so comfortable for me. You know, I feel like, wow, I feel a little not comfortable around that particular energy. And I think that's my opportunity to, A, not get my feelings hurt at the very least, and B, to adapt and enter the creative process where we get to find how we can make it work for both of us. But in order for that to happen, it's the same thing that happens when you have a child. Having a child forces you to get out of yourself and together join your energy and focus on the child. I mean, not only is it a living experience that we all share, but as a metaphor, I think it's a metaphor for how all creation happens. These two parts come together and focus on giving birth to a third and then developing that third. And that's the result of any creative union.
I don't know what to say after that.
Well, I tell you what, let's not say anything. I tell you, I've got a great song here I'd like to play for you. And this would be a perfect time to listen to it.
And find out the other two singers.
Right. The other two singers, yes. We will find out the other two singers. But in the meantime, listen to our friend Chuck Pyle. Keep it simple.
Well, I woke up this other morning to this meeting in my head. My ego had formed a terrorist group, and I knew what lie ahead. There'd be death threats on my confidence and extortions of my heart, and I'd have to remain in control so as not to fall apart. So I called my new age girlfriend up, who'd self-helped herself for years, and I asked her how to overcome all my unrest and inner fears. She said, force it, drive it deeper. I needed to love my fear away. She sounded so together, I was ashamed of being afraid. So I called my local talk show radio therapist of the air. She told me to write myself little love notes and paste them up everywhere. Said it was not good to be ashamed. I should get therapy or meditate. But then I realized I felt guilty. I was ashamed of being afraid. She said, thank you for sharing. Put me on hold. I got right off the line. I knew she was trying to trace the call. So I said, I know I'm in there. And I walked over to the mirror to see. If I don't come out with my hands up, I said, I'm coming in after me. I know my inner child's enraged, but all my outer man can say is that I'm angry, that I feel guilty, that I'm ashamed of being afraid. Right about then, my committee kicked in, and there I am on the streets of Boulder, Colorado, the supposed New Age center of the known universe, not being totally present. Could have gotten busted. Ran home, turned off the phone, and changed the machine. Ah, this is me. If I should return while I'm gone, please detain me until I get back. So I called this 12-step cowboy friend of mine I thought might maybe know just why I felt so crazed these days, like a psycho desperado. He took me to his support group and I shared about my rage. They said, everyone's addicted to anger. It's a rage this day and age. I said, you mean I'm addicted to being angry, for feeling guilty, that I'm ashamed of being afraid? I said, yep. I said, what happened to keep it simple? He says, easy does it. God grant me the serenity to accept the thing that I cannot change.
That was Chuck Pyle. We had the good fortune of meeting him and working with him in Boulder when we used to do a Sunday morning show called The Gathering. And Chuck sang many times with us, and I do love his lyrics. And his demeanor. He's wonderful. He calls himself the Zen Cowboy. Well, who were those two other people, Errol?
Okay, I have the information. Hurtin' on the Inside was performed by a group called Traveling Without Wheels. And Don't Hurt My Feelings, a kind of Western song, that was Freddie McGregor.
Aha, well, good old Freddie. I liked him.
So we want to thank all the contributors to our show and all of you who are listening tonight. We are exploring the issue of hurt feelings, and we'd like to leave you with this little set of four steps because they really are useful, because some people say, okay, how do you do it? Well, this is how you do it. You start with being willing. Willing. You don't have to be able.
It's willing to change, willing to,
right.
to become more of what you want to be rather than what you think you are.
Which begins with a willing to see things differently than you've always seen things. And in order to do that, you have to catch yourself. You know, that's why on some of our shows, we do a catch and release program of the ego, catch and release. So you call in and you tell us about some behavior that's causing you a difficulty, and we'll show you how you see that's this contrived concoction of a self that's having a problem. You are not having the problem. You call in with your story and your drama and your conflict, and if you're open to see it differently, we'd love to answer those kind of questions on our subsequent programs. You know, how to deal with uncomfortable feelings, and let us show you that it's just part of this crazy concocted self that you, interestingly enough, are not that self. You created it, and it's just a defense. That's all it is.
And that is not the four things, but that's a good discourse on one of them, I think.
Which one?
Where did you go?
Well, I went off on willing, because willing is the critic.
Oh, willing. Okay.
Willing before you get into the four, but willing to be honest, willing to state your fear, willing to get off your position, and willing, where we started this whole thing, to take responsibility for your own feelings. And I think that's a good place to focus on as we kind of come full circle, is that, my feelings come up, but I have the option of redirecting them. I remember a peace pilgrim. I don't know if you all remember her. She was a woman who walked 25,000 miles back and forth across the United States. And I had a chance to hear her speak. And she spoke about somebody who was angry, and how he just went and mowed the lawn. you steer it in new directions. You're not going to get rid of these impulses, but I think the key is steering them in new directions. So you get a hold of them, which means that you have to begin to get slightly outside of the mechanism that you've created inside this ego that's kind of the engine that's driving all these feelings to happen.
Well, that's one way. And I think, too, that is you can start seeing yourself as part of the drama and comedy of life and not take it seriously, so that you're not resisting it in any way. And you can redirect it, or you can just laugh at it, because the truth is, when we're having some of these crises, it's quite funny.
And one thing you can do is you can dance. Let me. Yeah, you who've been sitting listening to this program, get up. This is called Memphis Stomp, and it's by Dave Grusin from the movie The Firm. We've left you in a good space as a result of our focusing together on hurt feelings and perhaps the four steps.
We've left you in a good place focusing on hurt feelings. I like that. So that your hurt feelings may have been turned into nice feelings.
Right. So you'll be seen as a nice person, as you may recall. That is one of your options. Now, I don't want to belittle the machines that were represented in the Hurt Protection store. You can get the Heart Protector. It is on sale right now for $129.95.
But you can get a used one.
Yeah, right. You can get a used one. And that's something we'll talk about. Just that Heart Protector and the whole dynamics of that would be an interesting show. In other words, the Heart Protecting Machine is devices to protect you from being hurt when the person you've invested your self-value in is not living up to their part of the agreement of making sure that you are feel good about yourself.
That's right. Once again, you're a victim. You give your power away. We give our power away. I do think that we're hurt. We give our power away.
We do.
To something or someone to make us hurt. And that takes a lot of maturity to realize that. And I don't expect myself to get it before I leave this planet.
We do.
But we work at it. And recognize it and not take it too seriously.
And if you want an opportunity to work on it, you could just go to your Victims Anonymous meeting.
VA.
The VA. Yeah, you could. You could actually do that. So,
Once again, go raw. Get your goraw.com. Find out more about our wonderful this product that is sponsoring this show. They have cookies, snacks, bars, chocolate, and seeds, and shakes, and it really is delicious. We have tasted it. We love it.
And you're delicious out there, and that's why we're doing this, because we know that you're just eager to soak up the love, and we just got so much that it just needs to spill over, and that's what this show is about. Come be with us next week, and next Tuesday night, 7 p.m., on this same BBS radio. Thank you, Doug and team, for just being such a great support system out there. We're so happy to be here. And with that, come back next week. We're about to sign off. I think it's time to say goodnight from Lupin Lodge here in Los Gatos, California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.